This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Right, welcome to the house of the Lord. If you've not been following, this is part 7 of the story of Joseph. We're speaking about dream to destiny, and that God has a dream and a call for all of us. And as I said, this is chapter 7, which is a really, really important chapter, as much important as any other chapter. So if you've missed some, please go back, go watch, go learn, and let the Holy Spirit really come and speak to you in the stages of your life. Right, I need to take a minute here to do some advertising. First of all, it was such this morning when I arrived here, one of the volunteers grabbed me and told me about how they'd listened to the sermon about the prophetic chapter, right? Chapter 6, the prophetic test. And they came to work that Monday morning, and they really felt in their heart that they must go speak to this one person. And this person actually walked up to them, and which is kind of not normal. This person normally doesn't speak to them. And this lady in our church just had a simple word. She just basically said, "The Lord knows what you're going through. He's there for you. He's going to get you through this, and that your heart is pure." Simple word, right? Nothing profound. And this lady just had absolute waterworks. And they ended up going, having lunch together, and this lady just sharing everything that's going on in her life, and she's really going through a hard time because of one word. So I just want to say, you know, sometimes there's that nudge, and the fruit is so beautiful when we're obedient to words of God. All right. Second advert. There is a documentary on Netflix that started this week called The Social Dilemma. If you have not watched it, I'm asking, I'm pleading, and I'm begging for you to go and watch it. If you don't have Netflix, you're allowed to have 10 people in a house. You can have a lekkerkeier and Netflix. So if you like a girl, all right, you can invite her over to come and watch Netflix with you. All right, guys, this is non-negotiable. We need, as the bride of Jesus Christ, to be wise in what is really happening in the world today. This documentary will open up your eyes of understanding the dangers of what is happening out there. And we think we're just going through our Facebook, we're going through our Twitter, we're going through these pages, but there's massive consequences for this. Now, you guys know me, I'm not usually advertised to go do anything else. If you're online right now, do not go anywhere. Do not click on Netflix. Stay where you are. Tonight we're doing the power test. I feel like I have to pray again. Just in case. So, we've done the pride test, the pit test, the palace test, the purity test, the prison test, the prophetic test, and tonight's the power test. Now, the first 6 tests was before you start walking in your destiny. Remember, this challenge, the power test, is not the fulfillment, but starting to walk in what God has for you, your destiny. Does that make sense? All right. So till now, it's just been training for reigning. Rick Godwin, if you haven't read the book, read the book. Isn't it from the 90s? But it will change your life. How God is preparing you for ministry, for preparing you for the ministry that he has for you, which is exactly what this 10 tests is about. So till now, it's just been training for reigning. But this is the first test while walking in that destiny that God has for your life. All right. So for many of us, we're quite young. I think this might be that step that's in front of us still, and most of us have not done this. So as I've said before, there's no 1 to 10. It's not like you can tick them off as you go along. You've probably done a few times that you're going to go through the pit, you're going to go through the prison, you're going to go through the prophetic test a few times. But this is one of those, when you get it, you get it. Genesis 41 verse 8. We're going to jump around a little bit in scripture. So Pharaoh has just had these two dreams. And the next morning, Pharaoh was very disturbed by this dream. So he called all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. When Pharaoh told them his dreams, not one of them could tell him what they meant. And then the cupbearer is reminded, this is 2 years later, about Joseph. And he says, Pharaoh, I'm so sorry, I actually know this guy. He can interpret dreams. So we're going to jump to verse 14. Let's try that again. Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he quickly brought him from the prison. After he had shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. When Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night, and no one can tell me what it means. But I've heard that when you hear about it, about a dream, you can interpret it. So we know what happens next. I'm going to jump to verse 37. And listen very carefully to what this says. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. Not only did he interpret a dream, but he actually had insight of what to do. So Pharaoh asked these officials, can we find anyone else like this man, so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Please note right here that Pharaoh recognizes God on Joseph's life. This is a key element to this test. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed this meaning of dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or as wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court, and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge in the entire land of Egypt. Can we go back to that previous slide? Note that Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once. The power test will always come quickly. The power test will always come quickly. Verse 37. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. As I said earlier, he's obviously from Belleville. And it's fine, I'm from Belleville, I live there. Then he had Joseph ride in his pimped-out chariot reserved for his second-in-command. And wherever Joseph went, the command was shouted, kneel down. So Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh said to him, I'm Pharaoh, but no one will lift a hand or foot in the entire land of Egypt without your approval. Isn't that incredible? No one was allowed to do any work in the entire land of Egypt without Joseph's say-so. Promotion can come in one day. That night, the previous night, Joseph slept in the prison. The next night, he was sleeping in the palace. Isn't that incredible? Your misery, what you going through, that hardship can end in one day. God can turn that around. We see that the prior test is how we respond to the dream. The power test is how we respond to the destiny. You will be tested in success. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say that the test that most people fail of all these 10 tests is this very test. And I'm going to prove it at the end of the sermon. that as the church and as this country, we are miserably failing this test. Most of us are able to get through the pit test, get through the pride test, get through the palace test, get through the prison test. But when it comes to the test of success, we fail. So the good news is most of you have not been tested in this area yet. It's really good news so that you can prepare yourself when success arrives. Now tonight, the way we're going to do it is we're going to have three key points, but they're going to be questions. So question one, from where does power come from? Psalm 62, verse 11. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. All power belongs to God. God created the ability for us to have power. He had created power. Romans 13 verse 1. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. All authority comes from God. All power comes from God, and all authority comes from God. Listen to this incredibly strange and peculiar scripture. John 19. So Pilate said to Christ, "You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Pilate is speaking to the creator of the universe. And he's saying to the creator, saying to Christ, that he has authority over him. And listen how Christ answers him. So Christ says, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it was given to you from above." Christ recognizing that Pilate had authority and it was given that authority by God. And if you go read later, further down, you actually get that this was a bit of a perplexion for Pilate. This sunk him actually. We're speaking about the power test. See, it's really, really important for us to understand, as Joseph went from the prison to the palace before Pharaoh, we need to recognize that God blesses and puts power on us. Now, there's two no-nos. The first no-no is that you think you're successful because of everything you do. The second no-no, now listen to me, some of us struggle with this. Neither is your success 100% God. It's the understanding that you've worked really, really hard to have the success you have, yet it is because God has blessed you. There was a person that we had a guest speaker came and gave us a word, came and prayed in Shafa Stellenbosch many years ago, and one of our older ladies, she's such a beaut. She went up to the man, and Pastor Fred May shared this with us afterwards, and she went to them to this preacher and said, "You know, thank you for such a beautiful sermon. Really blessed me. It was really amazing." And the preacher tried to be all humble and went, "Oh, it was all God." And then she answered immediately by saying, "No, it wasn't that good." Humble pie right there. See, we need to be careful of pride, and we need to be careful of false humility. False humility is a form of pride. Things aren't just going to happen for you. You still got to partner with God. It's still a partnership. If it wasn't, money would grow on trees, and my parents would have been wrong. Yeah, two of you got that, right? For Afrikaans people, in English, we were taught geld groei nie op bome nie. You get it now? All right, God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. All right. You know, it's always interesting to see how people start responding when they get blessed, when God promotes them. Have you got that guy at work? So let's make an example out of church rather. It's like, you know, those churches that have parking. You know, you have people that help you park. No, we're not that big. We don't have parking attendants in South Africa. You don't need parking attendants. We've got the local guys that help us park, right? And but you have this parking attendant, and they've been really doing well. And we go, wow, we recognize that you're really gifted. We'd really like to promote you. Would you mind taking charge of the parking? And they go, thank you very much. It'd be such an honor. And that next Sunday, they arrive with flashlights and security badge and like handcuffs. You know, and they look like a Star Wars movie. You know, zoop, 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 yeah, this way. You know, and they just lose the plot. Have you seen those guys? You got that guy at work? Got promoted, and the next thing he's walking on Air Jordans. Hey? Maybe you students, someone gets a position in the class or in the faculty, or I don't know how it all works. You know, they get a position of leadership and they get weird. They start speaking slower. Hi, how are you? See, without the blessing of God, you cannot do what you do. It's about walking in obedience, humility, stewardship, and servanthood. The power test is to understand that we work really, really hard. We respond in obedience to God's voice, but it's still God's power and it's still God's authority. All power comes from God. Now I'm going to make a statement. You're going to be okay. To desire power is not evil. For some of us, we have to go and pray through that and think through that. I ask if you struggle with that. Because I'm going to be honest, I struggle with that. That concept kind of just, I just go, ooh. And the reason I go, ooh, is because I look at people that are power hungry, and I don't do well with people that are power hungry, right? But let's look what Scripture says. So off they arrived at Capernaum and settled in the house. Jesus spoke to his disciples, what were you discussing out on the road? But they didn't answer him. Typical disciples. Because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. Please note that Christ does not go, disciples, you're deceived. Right? He didn't go, Peter, get behind me. He did not rebuke them. Instead, he says to them, right? He sat them down, he called the 12 to him and said, whoever wants to be first must take the least, must take the last place and be the servant of everyone. God does not rebuke the person that seeks a position of power. He just tells them what it means. 1 Timothy 3 verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. If you desire a position of eldership, which is the highest position in the church, that's what the scripture is saying in Timothy, it's a good thing. If you desire power for the right reason, it is a good thing. I'm not saying it's bad if you don't seek power. I also want to say that. Someone came to me after this morning and asked me that's a bad thing. No, that's not a bad thing in itself neither. Unless, obviously, if it's motivated through fear or something else. But seeking a position of power is not evil in itself. It's the heart, right, that shows if it's evil or not. So don't look at people that seek power and just think they're evil because they're seeking positions. Many of us, we become doormats as Christians because, no, I'm not going to go there. No, I'm not going to put myself out there. Because that's just evil. That's just not right. It can't be right for me to want to have a position of power. A position of power means that you have influence. That's why God gives influence. We see it in Joseph's life. There's influence. And God for sure gave him a lot of power, right? Question two. To whom does power come? James 4 verse 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. The New King James says, and he will lift you up. In other words, he will give you power, authority, responsibility. In other words, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will give you power, authority, and responsibility. Power and humility go hand in hand. They're supposed to go hand in hand. I've seen the most humble people that you can meet, but they were too afraid to want a position of power, so they'd always let people walk over them. And I realized, but that wasn't real true humility. God has not called us to be doormats. God's also not called us to be dictators. 1 Peter 5, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may lift you up. God's heart is to lift you up, to bring you up, to exalt you, to bring you to that place where you might have the power that God has for you. Now, there's two aspects to grace that we need to understand. The first aspect of grace is the grace that we know, it's forgiveness, right? The second aspect of grace is empowering. God gives grace to empower us. In other words, for God opposes the proud, but empowers the humble. There's nothing more disgusting than an arrogant, proud person, right? Can I have an amen in this house? There's nothing more off-putting than someone that is arrogant and prideful. You just always walk out of those meetings and walk out of those conversations. I don't know if you had a conversation with someone, and you just walk out and you go, I don't ever want to see that person again. Matthew and I had been married for a year, and a friend of mine and his wife, they'd never met Matty. They'd been living overseas for that stage already for about 10 years, and came and visited us, and I introduced them to Matty. And it was the most distasteful lunch we've ever had. They just sat there and told us everything we may and may not do in life. And they had this arrogance and this pride about them. And I walked out there just going, I never, and Matty was like, and Matty would never say this. I never want to see that person, that couple in my life again. Because of the arrogance and the pride. And the opposite is also true. When you sit with really humble people, you feel so enlightened, you feel so blessed, you feel like, man, I want to spend time with these people. You know, when someone stops and actually asks, man, how are you doing? How's your life? Not, hey, how are you doing? Fine, bye. But actually cares and draws it out of you and asks you how you are and what's going on. You know, real humble people that put themselves as equal to you, but almost underneath you because they really just want to serve you. Real humble people. And I'm not speaking about flattery neither, right? There's nothing more beautiful than being around humble people. Now, I need to say that there is a major difference between boldness and arrogance. And the difference lies in the heart. See, we're called to be sons of God and servants of God. We need to be both. For many of us in the Church of Jesus Christ, we struggle with sonship. And that sonship brings boldness. The perfect example is Christ himself. Always walking in humility, always walking in boldness, always walking in authority. Question three. Why does power come? Why does God share his power with us? God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went out doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God gives power to help people. God gives power because he loves people. God's heart is always for his people. God's heart is always for the orphan and the widow. That's why the gospel is good news to the poor, because God's heart is for the poor and for the sick. Christ says, I've not come for the healthy, I've come for the sick, I've come for the poor. See, if I may make illustration, let's say God is here on my left, your right, and God has all the resources, right? All the resources in the world, God has got all of them. And here on my right, your left, here's the needs. Here's the world's needs. Poverty, gangsterism, murder, all these things. All this evil, maybe it's you need a husband or you need a wife or maybe you need a child or a family or maybe you're sick and you need healing. All the needs is here and all the resources is here. What stands in the middle between the resources of God and the need of the people? If I can, as most of us are in the economical world, it's basically supply and demand. God is the supply, and there's a demand. And we, as the sons and daughters of God, stand in the middle between the resources of God and the need of the people. See, God is looking for a humble steward to channel his resources and his power. Deuteronomy 8. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers. Read it from the NLT. He did all this so that you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Why does God give power? To establish his covenant. So that people can come into the new covenant of grace with Jesus Christ. That is why God gives us power. See, God does not want to bless you with a nice car. That's not why he gives you authority and not why he gives you power. But so that you can bless others. I'm going to trample on some holy cows here this evening. I hope that's okay. You You know why many pastors want bigger churches, or why they should want bigger churches? So that we can bless more. The larger you become, the more you can bless. That should be the reason why we seek bigger. We spoke about bigger last time. Be very careful when it comes to bigger. If we understand that we are called with the resources we have to bless, then our heart will be to give out, not to take. I love what Pastor Ross and the elders and what God has shown us here. And it's up on the wall. For those of you that haven't been back yet, we've got it up on the wall, the Grow series, and what it's all about and why we're doing it. And God has given us a mission to be able to be the best church for this community, because we want to bless the community. We don't want to keep it for ourselves. We recognize that there's incredible people in this church with incredible gifts, incredible skills, and we want to use those skills to further the gospel of Jesus Christ into the community of the northern suburbs. We're not just doing the Grow groups to be fancy or cute or funny or different. We're not just doing this to equip you so you can be better equipped, to get more equipped, to do more equipment so that you can be better equipped, so you can come back next year to get more equipped. We're doing this so that you can equip yourself to be a blessing, so that you can further the covenant of God on this earth, and that you can be empowered. I don't know if your Grow group is as intense as my Grow group. I'm throwing these guys under the bus, eh? Louise, right? Am I throwing you guys under the bus? Okay. Leanne, all good? It's really good stuff. But the reason that I'm doing this, and the reason why we're doing this, is because I really, really desire that we can be able to pray with massive authority, understanding God's heart, and releasing what God's called us to do. So that the city can change, so that people can get saved and come to Christ. So we can be a blessing to the city. This is what Joseph did. Can of worms, here we go. Many of us don't move in our destiny because it becomes about us. Do you remember that first time that Pastor Ross asked you to be a small group leader and you were like the most reluctant person on earth? No, not me. I'm not special. I'm not good enough. Please don't. I'll do anything. I'll make coffee every Sunday, but don't make me a small group leader. Do you remember that's how most of us started? Amen. And then we do it for a little while, and we struggle the first while, and then we get it okay, and then we're right in it. And then we take a bit of a break from small group, or maybe we go to another church, and you join, and you can't understand, why doesn't this pastor make me a small group leader? I'm the best small group leader in the church. This small group leader of mine is useless. Does he know how anointed I am? Right? Amen. Can I have an amen? Come on, don't make as if you're all holier than I am. Thank you. Or you at work and you get promoted, and when you start in this new role, you kind of go, whoa, Lord, why? I'm not good enough. You know, and then they give you a bigger salary and you go, wow, what a blessing. And then 6 months down the line, I don't understand why this boss is my boss. I should be his boss. Who does this guy think? Does he know who I am? Lord, tell him who I am in the name of Jesus. I command that you know that I exist. Right? And then if we search our hearts, it all becomes about ourselves. I truly believe the following. This is my own statement. The reason we have so much problems in South Africa Because those who are in power are using it for their own gain. Hashtags, terms and conditions apply to this. I believe this is of every race in this country. Do you know that we were the hope of the world in 94? We were the hope of the world. We came out of apartheid and we had this amazing man of God that was put into as our president, President Nelson Mandela, and he did incredible things. And the world was looking at us and going, there is hope for us. This is really a nation of transformation. This is a nation of change. It's going so well. It's so incredible. And 20 odd years later, the world thinks we're a joke. They don't want to invest. They don't want to be near us because of the amount of corruption that is in our country. Walked in the store today and I saw the front page of, I think it was the Week in August or one of the English papers, and it's just smack in your face. All the corruption, all this power, that people started becoming about themselves rather than the nation. And it's making all of our lives miserable. And you know what it causes us to do? Can I be honest? It makes us think more about ourselves and become more egotistic and more narcissistic. And then we go, well, then I'm just leaving the country. Or, well, I'll just make sure I don't pay tax. Because they, in any case, use it for cigarettes. Come on, that was good. Just a bad joke, just a bad joke. Because we forget where we come from, and then it becomes about ourselves and our comfort. See, power and humility has to go hand in hand. God gave us a word for this last season and for this year that he's busy restoring, rebuilding, and repositioning because he truly wants to bless us into the position of power. You remember in the beginning of the year, I said two things. I said, first of all, I gave a sermon series, a short sermon series on the spirit of Elisha. And that God wants to give us a double portion blessing. And then I said that there's going to come a test for the church and the world. I think I understand the test a little bit better. When I was spending time this morning with God in my quiet time, God said the following to me. We're becoming too comfortable in Potiphar's house. See, when we started in Potiphar's house, we were, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you promoted me. Thank you for this position. Thank you for your favor. Thank you. But then we started getting familiar in his house. For most of us, terms and conditions apply. For most of us, all that Corona took from us is our comfort. I don't want to take away from the amount of people that have died. I don't want to take away from people that got really sick. I just want to say that for most of us, all that Corona took from us is our comfort. I've never seen so many people complain about absolute, to be honest, rubbish. And God's saying, it's time to get out of Potiphar's house. I've got bigger plans for you. But we get comfortable and it's already in part of his house, become about us. See, God is good that if he knows you can't pass the test, there's no chance, he won't even put you in that position. That's how faithful God is. Here's another hint. You know why God doesn't tell you the full picture? Listen to this revelation. This is beautiful. You know why God doesn't tell you, man, at the age of 52, you're going to be married, 5 children, you're going to have this position, you're going to have this. You know why God doesn't do that? Because if you don't reach that, you have sinned against God 300,000 times. But what God will say to you is, Bernie, take that job. And you either are obedient or disobedient. So in other words, I've only sinned against God then once if I don't get what God has for me. Isn't that beautiful? So sometimes it's why God doesn't give you the full picture. And sometimes he doesn't give us the full picture because we're going to be so scared that we're going to run away. We'll never go there. And other times because it's just going to bring up pride in us. Man, hello. God has called me to give thousands of people a vaccine for Corona. And never again will Corona 19 harm anyone. Because all it does is bring pride. And then Corona 20 comes out and then we're in trouble. And you're we become too comfortable. We've got some serious problems in this country. And most of us just get upset. And this is really, really one of the importance of why you need to go listen to that Netflix documentary. Because you need to understand who you're actually listening to and why you're listening to the voices you're listening to. Because you're going to have algorithms that's going to tell you that you're right. Do you know that according to where you are in the world, if you Google something, it will give you the answer according to where you are in the world and your ethical status and your country and your finances and everything. Everything has been tracked. And so what you seek, if you look up the word ethical, you will find that it is different answers all over the world depending because Google will tell you what is ethical. We're getting to a time in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, that we are not going to know the difference between what is right and wrong. Do you know how the social media has destroyed, almost destroyed this world because of coronavirus, because of the fake news that's gone out? Because we're watching on Facebook and we no more know what God is doing or saying, but Facebook is telling us what we must think and how we must think. Go watch Netflix. But only the documentary. Don't waste your time on the rest. All right. We got serious problems in our country. And we need to really start standing for truth, ladies and gentlemen. And it starts in our own hearts. Where you need to be real with yourself. Can I call the band? For some of us, we struggle with the power thing. We don't want to ask for power because we feel that we're not good enough. We don't want a position of authority or a position of influence. For others of us, we've started to recognize that the truth is that something inside of us is saying, me. Can we stand together? Joe, we're gonna dim the lights and we're gonna worship together, and we're gonna end in prayer and ministry. But for the guys online, I'm just gonna close off with prayer, but we're going to carry on just worshiping the Lord together here in the house of God. My question to us all is the following. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is the conviction that the Holy Spirit is putting in your heart tonight? Let's allow the Lord to come and sort this out now in our lives. Not 20 years down the line. We need to make decisions now so that when God truly blesses us with power and authority, that it doesn't go to our heads. Father, we come and bring you our lives. I pray that you will sort out in our hearts, Lord, this power struggle, Lord, that happens, Lord, where we either go to one side, we go, not me, Lord, don't give it to me. I don't want any power. I don't want to go there. Because we have a misconception of how you create this earth and how you've put dominion over this earth and you've called us to take and have a dominion over this earth. And secondly, Lord, we pray for us that's truly struggling. As it becomes about us and our finances becomes about us and we become worse and worse stewards of our time and our finances and our gifting and our talents and our skills. I pray that you will become again the center. That we will recognize, Lord, that it's not by our might nor by our power. That it's by the blessing and the hand of God that allows us and empowers us to do these things. Let's worship together. Thank you for those online. It's been such a blessing. May you have a great evening and we're going to worship together. So enjoy this worship song with us.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.